blessed to be saved and born again.
So I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles to two places this morning. I'd like you to hold your finger, if you will, in John chapter 1. We're going to get there here in just a little while. And, not a little while, we'll get there rather quickly. John in chapter 1 is where we'll look here shortly. Hold your place in Isaiah 9, because that's where we're going to start. We're going to reread our verses this morning that we've already read for our daily reading. So as a springboard, or by way of introduction, we want to look at Isaiah chapter 9. And verse 2 is where we're going to be looking, Isaiah chapter 9 and in verse 2. And then I would have you to hold your place in John 1, and we'll get there here in just a short time this morning. I am going to be very sensitive to the time today, knowing the depth of what I want to preach this morning. And should this be a two-week sermon, that's the way it'll be. I'm more than happy with that. So Isaiah chapter 9 in verse 2, as we've already read, very powerful. It's a profound verse, if you will. The Bible says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Father, we thank you again for the wonderful opportunity and time to be here. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bless our service this morning. Lord, I call upon your help, your mercy, your guidance, your grace, the leading hand of the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us in these words of what we need to apply into our heart. And Father, we just bow before you, pray for your mercy, dear Lord. We pray for your light in our life, Lord, in our community, throughout the village and the valley. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen and amen. Isaiah chapter 9 reveals, we understand Isaiah 9, especially this time of year as we get ready to go into Christmas. In verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And it goes on, it's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The us of Isaiah 9:6 is Israel, because he was born through the nation of Israel. Unto us a child is born. Very clear, very simple. But the forefront of this chapter, the forefront of this, the introduction, if you will, reveals also the prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this great light, okay? "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath this light shined." So I want to bring a thought to you this morning on that very title, that very phrase, if you will, a great light. A great light that has shined into a dark and death-ridden place. Beloved, we read about this very light in the verses that I told you to turn to earlier, in John in chapter 1, and we can turn there now as we look at verses 1 through 9. The beloved John is writing this here, and he references, obviously, the six-month elder cousin of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was John the Baptist. That's not the author of the book of John, obviously. But in verse 1, he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the light was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from John, from God, whose name was John. And the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Beloved, this great light, this true light that came into this world, a light which the Bible says lighteth every man. Beloved, the Scriptures, it is commonly known that the Lord has revealed himself to every man. In the Scriptures, we see and we know. In history, if you will, we see and we know that the Lord God has revealed himself unto every nation. Now, that every kindred, every tongue, every place, every people at some point. Now, here's the deal. You've heard me use statistics before and say that 67% of the world's population have never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and that's true. 7.4, 7.5 billion people in the world today, roughly 67% of those people have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, okay? 30 million people will die this year alone, having never heard the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will die in their sins, and they will split hell wide open. I don't say that braggadociously or anything. I say that as a very saddened state, but that doesn't change the fact that every nation, somewhere along the line, the light has shined upon them. In history, the Lord has made known, in one way or another, himself and his light. I mean, what people have done with this exposure plays out in future generations. I want you to think about it for just a second. Guys, there are God-rejecting countries right now in our world who the Lord sent the gospel to 500 and 600 years ago. And yet, somewhere along the line, this imperative point and this process was missed. Somewhere along the line, there was a generation who knew not God. And that generation turned their back on the light that was shined into their land. And the further generations knew nothing of who and what Jesus Christ is. Beloved, I mean, we see that in our own very community we live in today. There was a time when revivals and churches were full throughout our valley. There was a time when the gospel was preached and souls got saved and families were in order and life was what God intended to be. People sung hymns. It was a common thing to walk by people's homes and hear families singing gospel hymns together one with another. You know what we heard the other night on the way home? We heard The Gambler by Kenny Rogers by somebody down here parked around the corner. And I'm not throwing Kenny Rogers under the bus. I'm not even throwing the song under the bus. But the time of hearing gospel hymns in people's homes and them singing, I'm not saying it's over with, but I'm saying it's past. I'm not saying it can't come back. But I am here to tell you this morning, that God has revealed himself to every nation at some point in time. So he should not be a mystery to anyone. Romans chapter 1 makes this very clear about this great light. Romans 1 verse 20 tells us, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you know the Holy Trinity, the Godhead, is revealed in creation? And therefore, every nation, kindred, tongue, everyone on this planet are without excuse to know who God is. The invisible things are clearly seen in his creation, my friend. Remember the opening verse. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. It wasn't that the light was shined on them and they said, oh, what was that? I missed it. They've seen this great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath this light shined. Beloved, we know in the first day of creation that God said, let there be light. He separated the darkness from the light. We know he said, let there be light. It's what he did. But on day 4, in Genesis 1, 16 through 18, he said, let there be light in the firmament. And that was the creation of the sun and the stars and the moon. He made a greater light and a lesser light. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. Now, the light on day 4 that he created is known as sunlight. That's what we know it as. But remember, the Bible says the invisible things of God are clearly seen where? In his creation. What also seen in his creation? The eternal Godhead. What is the Godhead? Guys, that is the Holy Trinity. The Father, Son, the Holy Ghost is seen in his creation. Bible says clearly seen, by the way. Not obscurity. Not in some type of finite and infinite math that somebody has to calculate and squint down and you have to be, have an IQ of 188 in order to see this. No, sir, no. No way, no how, amen. The sun, my friend, the sun that God created on day 4, it has three types of rays revealing a united Trinity, amen. This light that spiritually shined on those that lived in the shadow of death is seen in a physical light that God has created. Why? Because the invisible things of God are clearly seen in his creation. The sun has heat rays. Heat rays can be felt but not seen. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. You can feel the Holy Spirit of God, my friend. I know we don't base our salvation on feelings. I know you should not base it on there. I know that we have our up days or down days and all this and that. I get that. But the Holy Spirit of God, when you yield your body over to Him, you yield your mind, you yield your life over to the Holy Spirit, you feel His presence, amen. You say, preacher, I don't feel it. Well, you may not have it, amen. So heat rays from the sun in creation clearly gives a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Light rays, which can be seen but not felt. That's the type of the Son of God. The Son of God was seen on this earth. That light have shined. John is talking about this in John chapter 1, that the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. He was seen, amen. But He doesn't necessarily have to be felt. It's a type of the Son. Authentic rays. They're neither felt nor they're seen. That is a picture of God the Father, clearly seen in creation. In creation, Adam's image was to have a body like God the Son, a soul like God the Father, and a spirit like God the Holy Spirit. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. But he mentions God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. We are a trinity, a triune body. Adam was created in the image of God. We are conceived in the image of Adam, but nonetheless, we're still a triune being. So this sunlight that we're given here on day 4, which is a picture of that light that was exposed in day 1, which is a picture of that light that we read about in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, that shined itself into the shadow of the valley of death and those that walked therein, which is a picture, which is a type of Jesus Christ who shows up or spoken about in John chapter 1. Sunlight, guys, sunlight itself is a vital piece of mankind's being. We need sunlight. Sunlight provides vitamin D. It's essential to the existence of human life. I mean, we need vitamin D, guys, to help our body absorb calcium and phosphate from our own diet, which is important for healthy bones. It's important for our teeth. It's important for our muscles. A lack of vitamin D, which is known as a vitamin D deficiency, is known as hypovitaminosis D, can cause bones to become soft and weak, which can lead to bone deformities. In children, it can lead to rickets. In adults, it can lead to osteomyelitis. I mean, it can cause bone pain and tenderness. Or you get the picture? A lack of that sunlight results in pain and sickness in our life. Physically, we know that it's a result of being sick or infected often. It affects your immune system, fatigue and tiredness, bone and back pain, depression, impaired wound healing, bone loss, hair loss, muscle pain. I mean, you name it, all of these things are linked to that thing that was created on the fourth day of creation, the sun. It's the light that makes the difference. It's one of the reasons we take vitamin D every day as a supplement, you know, just in case we're not getting enough sun. The light, my friend, is what makes the difference. It is the light that makes up a threefold ministry on this planet physically. And what we see in creation physically is a picture of what God has done spiritually. Remember, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Mankind, my friend, is in dire, dire need of this light. Look in John chapter 9 with me real quick and hold your place in John 1. We're going to come right back. John chapter 9 and the last three verses here, we know Jesus Christ is speaking to the Pharisees. And again, when I say, I opened up with this idea for you to understand that every nation on this world at some time or another, the gospel was presented to their land. And how that nation received and kept that gospel is a result of what happened in generations to follow, okay? Now, what you have today in the world is a result of what their ancestors and their forefathers did with that gospel, did with that light that will shine unto them. So Jesus is coming and speaking to these Pharisees who are supposed to be experts on the law of God. And verse 39, it says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see." There's that light shining into darkness. Now watch this. "And that they which might that which see might be made blind." He's speaking to the religiousites right now, Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. This great light, guys, was right before them, right in front of them, right speaking to them, and yet they simply did not see him. Why? Because their sin was in front of them. It was right in front of the entire world. It has been in every single nation in all of the world, my friend, and many still have not seen, or they saw, received, and then let it fall by the wayside in decades to come. What the light is able to do, guys, is reveal the present condition of the world. Now, back in John 1, we read this verse already. And again, we're speaking about a great light that shines into a dark place. John chapter 1, and looking at verse 5, the Bible says, and the light shineth in darkness, okay? And the darkness comprehended it not. Now, one of the first things that you'll do, guys, if you get up in the morning, especially if you get up, you know, while it's really, really dark and you don't want to wake anyone up, you'll sneak down the steps and you'll hold the rail and you'll do everything you can trying to feel yourself down into the steps, trying to keep yourself from breaking something or something or someone, part of you, right? That's what you'll do. And one of the things that I try to do is I sneak down those steps one by one by one, and I want to make sure that I find the floor, amen, off that last step, because there's been several times I've stepped from the second step to the floor thinking it was another step, and it's thrown me off guard, and I hate that, all right? It's not a good thing to do that early in the morning. But we have this little touch light that has some wax in it that makes everything smell good, and it's right in the midway of our hallway on the bottom floor. So by the time I get to that thing and I can touch that thing, boom, I'm all good. There's no more easy stepping. There's no more walking. There's no more groping in darkness. None of those things. I can see. Why? Because the light has shined into the darkness and guided away in a path for me. The light also, when it comes into a place, when it shines into a location, it reveals the present condition. Now, here's the example. We have some people in our house that like to stick bags and boxes in front of doors. Okay? Doors are walkways. Amen? Not places to stick things. Amen? So I hit that button, light comes on, guess what happens? It reveals something's in my way. What do? I can move it out of the way and I can trespass safely. Light does the same thing in our life. Especially this great light, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it shines on, it reveals our present condition. And we see that in verse 5. And in the present condition in our world today, there are 4,109,500,000 souls in our world right now who outright deny Jesus Christ as the only way to eternal life. 4,109,500,000 human beings are exposed by the light of God and they reject Jesus Christ. This does not include those who are trusting in their quote-unquote good works or using the name of Jesus and yet filling it with works and dietary laws and buying your way here and there. It doesn't even include those. These are those who outright deny Jesus flat out. Beloved, our world has been conditioned. The light came into the world here and it exposed them for who and what they are. And yet it comprehended them not. Our world has been exposed for what it is, and it cannot comprehend where it is today because it's been conditioned, controlled, and convinced by other things, by outside sources, whether it be the media, the liberal school system, the educated elite, hypocritical false teachers in society, whatever it may be. They're conditioned, and they don't comprehend the light. They go like, well, I don't understand. I have multiple conversations during the week with people that on the forefront are very good people. And I tell them the same thing that I'm telling you right now. I speak to them about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the simplicity of the gospel. And they still struggle. They cannot for the life of them wrap their head around the idea that they're not going to go to heaven because they're a good person. Even when I draw out what's good, Even when I draw it out and say, well, how do you measure good? Who are you comparing yourself to? Adolf Hitler? Castro? I mean, you know, who are you comparing yourself? Stalin? How about compare yourself to Jesus Christ, who is sinless, who is perfect? Then do we find that we're good? No, the Bible tells us there's none good, no, not one. The Bible tells us that we've all come short of the glory of God. The Bible makes that clear, but they cannot wrap it around. And what that is, my friend, that is the light shining into the dark places of their life, and they still don't comprehend it. It's heartbreaking. It is almost impossible to understand or to consider that only 1 in 100 of the world's population who possess a true confession of Jesus Christ, that only 1 in 100, much less a testimony that we read about in John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he a power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It is unbelievable to think that 1 in 100 people in our world today would only have this confession. Why would this be? The light has shined in a dark place. The light has shined upon them that have walked in the shadow of death. Those that are walking in darkness, the light has shined. It has exposed itself to them. You know, beloved, when you take a man and you take the face of a man and you put it into the light, you know what we'll do? You close your eyes and say, well, I don't see it. Well, open them up, then you say, wait, they close your eyes. You tell him to open his eyes, and he'll turn his back to the light. He goes, I still can't see it. I can't see it. You turn him around, make him open his eyes, and he covers his eyes. He says, you know what? I'm unable to see it. And this is what happens in our world today. Because that light begins to reveal things in our life. It begins to expose things to our heart that we don't like, that we don't enjoy. But, beloved, the light is there so we can know our current state so that we can all trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say all we want about knowing Christ, but in the current state, the world today, they need someone to tell them where and who the light is. We cannot sit back and say, well, you know what, the Lord said he's going to reveal it unto all people. Guys, he already has, do you understand? I don't want to hunker down on this point. But beloved, we have nations to, I want you to stop and I want you to think about this. We live in a world today, now, currently, in 2021, going into 2022, that if you have freedoms and liberty in your nation, the world is trying to convince us that we should feel guilty of that. The world is trying to convince you that if you live in a first world country, that you should feel guilty for living in a first world country. That your freedom should be a guilt trip. And that's just not the way it works. We have a group of people that are rewriting history. They are rewriting history according to their own personal, vile, devilish, wicked narrative. That's what they're doing. Bible tells me my people perish for a lack of knowledge. If you don't do your own research and study, if you haven't learned what true history was, and you start buying into this narrative, you're going to be a panderer yourself. So I'm saying that to make this point. There are nations today in the state that they are in because 500-600 years ago they denied and rejected who and what the Lord Jesus Christ is. And that's why they're in. That's why America and Britain and the Philippines and other places are sending missionaries in there to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel went there, amen. My goodness, our Baptist heritage links back to the United Kingdom right here in Wales to AD 63. Do you know in AD 63, many of the apostles were still alive? Or a few of them were. John didn't die till the latter part of the first century. Some even believe up to 106 in the second century. Paul was executed in AD 68. Peter was executed in AD 69. We haven't been able to link, several of guys who walked with Jesus Christ were still alive. And that very gospel that we hold to, that doctrine that came out of Acts chapter 11, when they were first called Christians, came to this island, to this nation right here, while they were still testifying throughout Asia Minor. You understand? God did something so marvelous throughout the world by taking the gospel to the regions beyond. But once he brought that gospel there, and once that light shined unto that land and unto that people, it was the people's responsibility to carry it through. Ethiopia is a beautiful example. Now, Ethiopia is prophesied of its desolation in the Old Testament. It's prophesied. But in the days of Christ and thereafter, Ethiopia was a thriving nation, a land of absolute sheer beauty, a land of such great wealth. As a matter of fact, when we find in Acts chapter 8, when that Ethiopian eunuch rolls into Jerusalem, he was a eunuch, and he was in charge of all of the wealth and all the responsibilities under Candace the queen. High power, high position he had. And history shows that when he received that gospel from Philip that day, saved and born again, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, when he got back on that chariot, history proved that he took the gospel all the way back to Ethiopia. And millions upon millions upon millions in centuries to follow were saved and born again of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of that man's testimony, because of Philip's testimony, being obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that light shined into a spiritually darkened land, a land of wealth, land of beauty and glory. But somewhere along the line, some generation stood up, and just like you saw with in the book of Judges and Joshua, just as you see as time rolled on, when those elders began to pass away and those that believed and held to that doctrine, they stood up who knew not God and turned their back on God and turned their back on that light, and that darkness rolled right back into that land. And today, we have Philippine missionaries, Filipino missionaries being sent out of there into Ethiopia, winning the lost in a dark, dying, starving third world country. You think that's a coincidence? No, that's not a coincidence. I could stand here and give you 50 nations that God had revealed himself through that light, that later on those nations turned their back on God and became atheistic nations, and it's a cold, dark, oppressed all over Eastern Europe today. No sanctity of life. Euthanasia for anyone over the age of 70 or anyone with crippling diseases, you know, write them off. Iceland boasts themselves of having the lowest rate of Down syndrome, or zero curve Down syndrome in the entire nation. Do you know why they boast themselves of that? They're so proud of that. Because they abort babies who they early diagnose with Down syndrome in the womb. They murder them. Well, that's something to be proud of, isn't it? Bible speaks over the last days, and Romans chapter 1 tells us without natural affection, it is unnatural for a mother to destroy a child. It is unnatural for those things to happen. Beloved, that's where we are. But it doesn't mean that light didn't shine into those nations once before. No one can go, well, God, you never gave me anything, because he's given us everything. That light has shined into these lands, and what has happened, somewhere along the line, someone stopped telling people about the light. Look in John chapter 1 with me. We're going to go over three quick little popcorn points and we're going to be finished. John chapter 1 and verse 7 is very clear. Actually, let's bump up to verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now watch this. The same came, what was his purpose? For a witness. To do what? To bear witness of the light, capital L, that all men through him might believe. Now let me stop you there for just a second. He didn't say all elect should believe. He didn't say all of Israel should believe. He didn't say all of Asia should believe, or all the Greeks should believe. He said that all men, and that means all of mankind, all of humanity might believe. in that light. Verse 8 says, he was not the light, makes it very clear, but was sent to bear witness of that light. If people are going to hear about the light, which we know, guys, the light is the Lord Jesus Christ. The light that shined unto them that walked in darkness, the light that shined into those that lived in the shadow of the valley of death, the light that shined down here upon this earth, the light that was revealed in John chapter 1, the light that shone throughout Greece, the light that shone throughout the regions beyond, the light that shone throughout Israel, throughout America, Canada, Mexico, throughout the Great Britain, throughout all of Europe, throughout of all of China, throughout Australia, out of all of these places, throughout all of the heart of Africa. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible makes it very clear that John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus Christ, had one job, and that was to bear witness of that light. That was his job. The Bible is very clear why we need to make this witness to the world today. Number one, guys, we are born wrong. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, and you hath he quickened, which means bring to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, that's the darkness, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's it right there. We're born wrong, guys. We're born after the image of Adam. And therefore, there is a light that was sent into the world. There was a light, a great light that shined into those that were in darkness. A great light that shined into those that lived in the shadow of the valley of death. A great light that shined down onto every single nation, every man, kindred, tongue, every single race there is in the world today. The light was presented, and John was given a job to do, and that was to bear witness of this light. We are given a job to do. Why? Because we're born wrong. We've lived wrong. We've lived wrong. John 3, verses 18 through 20 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, one of the reasons men and women and young people will not be a witness to the light, because that light exposed what they're doing. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you find yourself struggling to bear witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved and you're born again, it's happening because there's something in your life that you need to get out. You say, preacher, you don't know my life. I don't need to know your life. Know mine. Amen? I'm a human being just like you are. I know. The minute that word, the minute the thought of that gospel comes into your mind, you ain't living right, boy, it exposes those things. And then you get all nervous. Well, what should I say? Should I say this? Should I say that? That's why it's imperative, guys, for us to do the right thing. John had one job, witness the light. He wasn't the light. He had one job, bear witness of the light in this world today. He had one job. Beloved, not only were we born wrong, not only do we live wrong, but guys, you know, we've died wrong. John chapter 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you that he shall die, ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Can I say this to you, and I'm going to close here. Beloved, no one has to die eternally. For over 4 billion individuals live in the world today, and they by faith shake their fist in the hand of God, and they say, I refuse that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. They are going to die and go to hell. That light has shined into their life. Over 4 billion people have outright rejected him right now. That doesn't mean that they may not get another opportunity, and that doesn't mean that they may not repent and get saved and born again. I'm just telling you, 4,109,500 have. They reject Jesus Christ in our population. A whole another a lot of people are living by works, thinking they're going to work their way to heaven, which will never happen. Not by works which we have done. Never, you'll never work your way to heaven. But you don't have to die eternally. John 3:16 is for every man, woman, and child, regardless of their sin, regardless of their nationality, their dialect, their education, their heritage, you name it. John 3:16 is for everyone. Because that light shined into a dark world. You see, it's all because of the life. Verse 4 tells us, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it's all because of the light. Verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness. Beloved, the bottom line is this, is there is a great light that has shined into this world. That light, as God proclaimed, has shone unto every nation, every land, every person, every individual. Every nation in this world today at some point in time. But when that light is shown into a world, when it comes into a community, when it comes into a village, when it comes into a valley, when it comes into a nation, when it comes into a population, when it comes into a dialect, if you're whatever you want to call it, when it comes into a race, it's then therefore your responsibility, that individual's responsibility, to carry that light on. John said, look, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. That was John's responsibility. Paul was one as one born out of due time, so the gospel will go to the regions beyond. And beloved, you live in a land, I lived in a land, where God gave me the opportunity to have that light shine upon my heart. Why? Because someone else took the responsibility to bear witness unto me of that light. And someone took the responsibility to bear witness to him unto that light. And someone, you see how this works? It has everything to do with choices and consequences in our life, for our nation, for our land. So one of the reasons that I don't buy in to all of the media agenda-driven charity drives for all the world and all the nations today is because nations are where they are today by their own choice. It is not our responsibility to tend to their needs. It is our responsibility to tend to their salvation. Nations are what they are today by a choice that their forefathers made by turning their back on the light that shined into dark places. So what is our duty and our responsibility this morning? Our responsibility is to bear witness of the light that shined into our hearts so that souls around us will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the greatest month of all the year to be able to speak about Jesus Christ coming to this earth. If you ever needed an opportunity, a doorway to walk through, this is it, Christmas time. The greatest gift ever given unto mankind. Amen? So today, guys, what I want us to understand is that there was a marvelous light that shined into this world. And it has shone unto every nation. And somewhere along the line, nations turned their back on that light. Now we are given the responsibility today to pick that torch up, to pick that mantle up, to pick up the responsibility that John the Baptist took on and failed not, and bear witness of the light that God has brought into our days. Now you say, preacher, wait a second. We're a small community, small church. We're just in Abrahamon. Doesn't matter. Shine the light in your community. If every one of us would shine the light in where we are, and then they would shine the light in where they go, that's how the gospel spreads throughout the world. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and who and what you are. We ask of you now to please give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us of where we have failed you and lead us into the right way. Lord, I pray this precious light that has shone into us today, this light that has been given unto us, Lord, that was responsibility given unto other men, women, and young people, Father, I pray that we would take that responsibility and utilize the opportunities that you've given each and every one of us to bear witness of the glorious light of eternal salvation given by the Lord Jesus Christ, and to whom we ask all of these things in his name and lift him up today. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. I do hope and pray the sermon you just heard
was a tender blessing to your heart and to your soul. I hope that it gives you the encouragement, edification to face the challenges that we see each and every day and week throughout our life. I'd like to invite you out to one of our live services here at Seren Chapel in Aberaman. We are located on Lewis Street as well as Davis Street. Davis Street is the entrance to our chapel, and as well as Lewis Street is the entrance to our hall, and you can use either one of them. But secondly today, guys, I would like to share just a brief message to you now to ask you to where you are going in eternity. If today was the last day you were alive, if today, by some tragedy, this was the last moment you had on this earth, when you closed your eyes, would you wake up and see Jesus Christ? It is a simple question, guys, and it is even a more simple answer. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, paid the ultimate price for mankind. He gave us the free pass to eternal life by giving his life on the cross of Calvary, being buried into that grave, but rising again on the third day. It is simple as this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, guys, while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ loves us so much that he gave his life. As a matter of fact, Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Sin is defined as the transgression of God's law. But what happened was the payment for mankind is death. Romans 6:23 clearly tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So I ask you today, what would stop you right here, right now, from bowing your head and saying a prayer much like this? Lord Jesus Christ, I trust in you. Jesus Christ, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that you stepped up out of the grave to give us victory over sin and victory over death. I invite you into my heart and ask forgiveness of my sins and ask you to lead, God, and direct me throughout the rest of my life. Now, here's the thing. You say that prayer in your own words, but you have to say it and believe in it. Remember, Romans 10:9 says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise from the Word of God. That is a promise from God himself. That is the promise from the Creator of all things, that if you'll believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask forgiveness of your sins, accept his free gift and pardon of sin into your heart today, that you will be born again, that you will have eternal life in heaven. Guys, I hope and pray this is a blessing to you today. I hope and pray that you'd make that decision. And if you have, if you've made that decision today, let us rejoice with you. Come by and see us here at the church, or hit us up online at any of the social media outlets or through email or however you can. Just share with us the glorious transformation that you just received in your life. Guys, I hope to see you soon in the house of God. Hope to see you soon right here in Seren Chapel. And may the Lord be with each and every one of you. God bless.